I'm Bowen Griffith. I'm the lead estimator and office manager here at PostPress Specialties. I've been with the company for 22 years. We are a finishing graphics finishing company in Kansas City, Missouri. We specialize in finishing other people's projects. We are strictly a finisher. We don't do any printing. We have many embellishment options. We offer traditional foil stamping, foil embossing, as well as lamination on top of our digital embellishing capabilities with the MGI.
I think that's really important, because that kind of is the heart of the story. Is really when digital embellishments first came out, we saw the pricing was kind of like the Wild West, right? You charge for a die than you would for a digital embellishment if there's no more die. And so at first people were charging outrageous amounts. And now that digital embellishment has kind of gone more and more mainstream, we're starting to see the little niche that is being carved out, where people understand the difference now more between digital and analog. And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about with you today, is really about if you've seen that definition of a new market pricing and the difference between the two.
Okay. There is definitely a delineation in the market between digital and traditional embellishments. The digital embellishments, when we started this a few years ago with our original jet varnish 3D machine with iFoil, we had one of the first five in the country. Wow. And again, being just strictly a graphic finisher, we're taking in work from commercial printers. We work with about 200 companies across the country. About 55 companies make up the core piece of our business, but we do small jobs for over 200 printers. What we have found, when we first got into it, we being early adopters to the digital foil market, it was a challenge, to be quite honest with you, finding foils that were compatible with the digital UV option and et cetera. And what the other challenge we've really found is trying to get the printers who are our clients to embrace the digital embellishment wave. People have a mindset that it's like traditional embellishments, like traditional UV or traditional foil, where you're pricing by an image area or a block, which you are, but they have trouble understanding the concept that it's so consumption driven. Digital embellishment is consumption driven. So the importance of having a file before we estimate it. With traditional flat foil stamping, it's, you know, that's a copper die that you're figuring the cost by square inch and the foil by square inch. But with digital embellishment, that's not necessarily the case. It's based on more on the consumption. That's also going to drive your speed, your micron height, things like that. That with traditional embellishments, it's not quite as, how do I want to say, it's not quite as coverage driven.
It's not variable. It's not as variable.
Right. And getting the our clients, the printing companies, to buy into that and understand that has been a little bit of a challenge.
That was, well, part of what I was going to ask, which was about the digital artwork side. And you know, are you using that as part of the estimating process, particularly as a trade finisher? You then having to get what the printer customers are getting from their customers, presumably. Or is it that those printers who know what they're talking about are actually adding the embellishment to the files rather than hoping that customers, designers know what to do and how to do it?
There is a percentage. We have some clients that have bought in more than others. Clients that have bought into the digital embellishment, people that have embraced it, more astute to what we need for accurate estimating. We still have a fair amount of clients that just say, okay, we need a digital UV with a 30% coverage. Well, if you understand digital embellishment, actually less is more. When you actually highlight areas and use less UV coverage, you get more of a contrast. So you're actually getting a better looking product a lot of times without putting down that large block of UV, for example. Kevin, I'm sure you understand this probably better than anyone else.
I've been preaching this for years, and not only does it allow you to go faster and in some cases, and obviously lower your cost per page, but it gives you a better product. So teaching the designers that exact line of where less is more is, I think, one of the key things that have led to the success and the adoption. So yeah, teaching designers that exact thing is so important.
And that's been one of our greatest challenges. I mean, because people have a mindset of traditional embellishments where they're screen printing UV and it's just a block and they think, okay, they want to put down a block of UV and make this big contrast in the middle of the page. Well, the way MGI is driven, obviously being a digital inkjet style setup, I mean, you're not going to be efficient in applying a big block.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have a big consumption of materials. You're better just touching small areas for sure.
Oh, for sure. And is there a big difference in your rate of adoption for digital versus analog? How is that conversation go? Like, walk me through like a typical process for you.
Typically, obviously, clients reach out to us with a project. They already have in mind what they want to do. Some of the folks that have embraced it have an idea that they want to use a digital process. Others, it's at our discretion. Occasionally, we'll look at our equipment and look at the project and decide if it's a better fit on our digital machine versus our traditional foil stampers, and then try to steer the client in one direction or another. What we found is typically it's a little tough to paint with a really broad brush being a commercial finisher. Because we're bringing in work from up to 200 clients, people aren't using the same equipment. So we have some challenges when we go across our digital machine with surfaces and different substrates, et cetera. And trying to explain that to some clients is a little bit tough. You know, I think that some people will read an article and they'll say, okay, I want to use digital UV, which is great. And they'll send us a bid request, but the stock will be an uncoated cover, for example, which doesn't really lend itself to a digital application. So then we have to backtrack with them and explain to them the surface is so important. You know, we need a coated sheet. We prefer a coated sheet to be aqueous coated after it's printed, or film laminated, one or the other. Explaining to people that uncoated doesn't work when they're wanting to do an embellishment on their business cards is tough, because a business card is something that traditionally has been coated cover forever. So, sure, you know, convincing them to go to a dull coated cover where we can work with digital embellishments at a lower cost and they get more value is a little bit tricky sometimes.
It's important that you're telling me that there is a request for digital specific, right? People are specifically asking you in some cases, I want a digital UV or a digital foil. Are you seeing an increase in that kind of a behavior where more and more people are asking for digitally specific, or is it just pretty stable in terms of the requests that you're getting in?
The requests for digital have increased. I mean, with the MGI machines on the market and the SCO machines, people are really embracing the digital technology. What I would consider the early adopters, people that have embraced it early, are really looking for the value that are added by being able to do variable foil. Variable foil is a game changer. Being able to do personalization with a foil stamp is, how else can I say it besides game changing?
But the question is not how you say it, is how do you charge for a product that doesn't exist until just very recently? How do you charge for variable data embossed foil?
Yeah, to be quite honest, we really don't charge any more a little more for file setup, but we don't charge any more for that. We are not realizing what we could. I think that we're treating it pretty much the same way we would treat a static digital foil job. You know, it's about consumption, it's about run speed, et cetera. Whereas, like you said, with traditional foil stamping, you would have to buy multiple dies, you would have all that set up. It's impossible to run.
What are they typically using variable for? I mean, I can imagine with business cards, it can be the names, but is there anything much else you're seeing coming across?
Direct mail pieces. The ability to give somebody a personalized postcard with digital foil with their name foiled on it is something that we've seen.
Yeah, we're seeing that. Also, we're seeing cards like American Express will send out these paper cards as a promo, say, hey, you know, apply for American Express, and they'll raise the name and the numbers with digitally embellished foil. So it's personalized that way. And they're charging a fortune for those. But I think a lot of that comes down to your customers, which are the printers, right? They're the ones who are kind of dictating what the pricing really goes out for.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's one of the challenges we have, because we're not calling directly on designers. Right. We're being a trade shop. We're working with printers. Our responsibility is to sell our capability to the salespeople at the printing companies, who then take it to the advertising agencies and to individual clients.
That's called push marketing. You got to push it to your client, hope your client pushes it to his client. And then that's what we're doing. We're going directly over everybody's head and going to the brands directly and kind of trying to educate them on how to use this kind of stuff. So yeah, I get your challenges.
Just sort of extending that thought about working with the printers, salespeople, to reach out to the customers. Is that message getting through? Are customers starting to say, oh yeah, we understand you can do digital embellishment, and we understand the cost implications. Either you can do variable data or you can do very short runs, which is the other great costing benefit of digital, and you're not paying, you know, many dollars up front for a die that you're only going to use for 50 copies or something like that and hope they come back next year. So that must surely also be another costing benefit, but also, you know, building that into the estimates. But yeah, are the designers, are the printers aware of that, or is that something you keep having to explain to them?
They are becoming more aware. We are definitely seeing a growth in that market. It's been slow to get people to come around to it, but they are more open to it and have adopted it. We're getting more and more requests for it, for sure. Part of the challenge is on us, and then part of that challenge is on our clients. So we have to market ourselves as a company, and marketing to people and getting them to change is a challenge, obviously. People are definitely adopting it and are excited about the opportunities that it provides. The shorter make readies, the less upfront cost without buying the die tooling. It's nice to be able to wheel product back to the machine and have a 15-minute make ready instead of a multi-hour make ready with dies. So people are absolutely adopting it, and they're excited about the possibilities that it brings.
Just to clarify what you are offering, so you've got traditional hot foil stamping and embossing, and then you've got a jet varnish, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You just got a second one, right?
Yes, we have the new Evo model. Congrats. That we just installed earlier this year. Our digital embellishments are strictly done on our MGI machine.
And how do you estimate it? Does the embellishment just go through as a normal estimate? And what package are you using? Are you using what used to be EFI or something like that? Or do you have your own MIS system? How do
we have a custom MIS system. We're actually using a custom FileMaker Pro system. When we're lucky enough to get an actual file from clients for digital embellishments, we use the consumption calculator that comes with the MGI. So there's a consumption and run speed calculator when you import the file that will tell you how many impressions an hour and what kind of a varnish consumption at what micron level. We still use that, Kevin, and then plug the speed and consumption into our custom FileMaker setup to calculate the hourly rate.
Actually, the question I was asking was assuming that you'd be printing as well, so maybe my question's irrelevant, but what I was going to ask was whether the margin, the profits on embellishment would be higher than a straight printing, but I guess that's an irrelevant question to you because you're not doing the printing.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately, that really doesn't fit us, but yeah.
Well, actually, what about, you don't have to say specifically, but the margins between your digital embellishment jobs and your traditional embellishment jobs, if you look at it that way instead of the print, is there a big difference between the two?
We are more profitable on the digital embellishment side when we find the right project.
Makes 100% sense.
You know, we can be very profitable on our traditional embellishment side as well, but when people prepare for digital embellishment, we can be very, very profitable. And the key is we've got to get that out there to people where they're preparing things in a digital fashion, where they're building the four color file with the UV mask, and where they're using the less is more, keep it simple concept so that you can actually run faster and you're using less consumable. I mean, that's where you really shine. We're very profitable in situations like that.
We've talked to a couple of other estimators. They're saying a lot of the money that they make comes from the setup charge. So they'll charge like $150 to $200 for a setup charge. And that's already where a lot of it has been built in, where printers are used to paying that for a screen getting made.
We are charging a setup charge, but we don't charge a straight setup charge like that.
Okay.
Basically, we have our budgeted hourly rate for the machine based on the cost and the amount that we figured we would use it when we install the machine. And then we figure how long is it going to take us to get the machine ready. Sure. Typically, on a simple job, when we have correct files, it's 15 to 20 minutes. So it's under $100 for a setup charge. But then there's times when we have to adjust files, and it can get up into the $150 to $200 range.
There's always a great question of, if the file comes in and it doesn't work, do you charge the customer for fixing it, or do you just kind of take it on the chin and hope they come back to you next time?
Typically, we try to work with them on the front end as much as we can to get the file correct, because it saves us so much time on the back. With the new MGI, we have the scanner technology. And Kevin, you know what a benefit that is. I mean, sure, you're actually in position within 2 to 3 sheets. It's so fast. But, you know, you have to have the full 4-color file as well as the UV mask on its own, where we spent the first 4 years of digital embellishment training people to build a mask on its own with camera marks at the lead edge of the sheet. So we're going through a re-education process, because we've told people for 4 years we want files this way, and over the last 8 months we've totally changed how we want the files.
Yeah, I'm sure your operator's loving that side.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What percentage of the work coming in for the jet varnish is printed on a digital press compared to offset?
I would say it's probably 60-40.
60 digital, 40 offset.
Yes, sir. And, you know, that's really the biggest challenge, because the different surfaces that you get with a digitally printed sheet. And sometimes we get into situations where we're having to film laminate it, which actually drives the cost up, and you'd be better off to go to a traditional embellishment. Let's say we have 500 thank you cards. Sometimes by the time we run it over and laminate it to get the surface right, and then go back to the MGI, you would almost be better off buying a $45 flat stamping die and shoving on a Kluge and being done with it. So it's tricky. There's a lot less of that with the new machine than with the original machine. It seems to work on a lot more surfaces. It seems to be compatible with a lot more surfaces than the original. New varnish formulation is better.
So you have a combination of that Corona treater that equalizes the dyne levels, but obviously the varnish is much more flexible in terms of what it can get good quality adherence to than in the past. So yeah, big changes. You guys were OG, man. I remember you guys had one of those first machines where you had to move the whole thing over to the left and down. Yeah. And oof.
Been wonderful for us. We've really embraced it. Our customers are embracing it. We've actually had people come to us strictly for digital embellishing that can't do it in their own shop. I pick at Andy Humble, the owner. We have a little bit of a field of dream strategy in our sales approach. If you build it, they will come. Yeah. And being an early adopter of digital embellishment has definitely increased our footprint with our clients.
Extending that thought about the split between digital and traditional, and I guess it's mostly litho coming in or offset. You know, one of the benefits that I think Kevin sort of hinted at the jet varnish is that it registers every sheet. So, and digital printing notoriously wanders on the sheet. If you get a digital color job coming in, does that more or less mean you'll always use the jet varnish, because using a traditional, the print underneath is going to wander around, so you might not hit it every time with the registration?
It is definitely a higher quality product when we are able to run it through the MGI with the scanner system. You definitely get a better registration and a quicker registration with the scanner system. Usually within 2 to 3 sheets, you're ready to go, and then it skews the varnish in registration with the print. So it is a lot higher quality piece. You're able to trap a lot tighter than with a digital printed piece than a traditionally embellished piece.
Last question. It was really an estimating question. We touched on the costing differences between traditional and digital, but you've also got, you know, different fixed costs. I mean, you've got more setup, you've got more labor costs with traditional, but there again, the capital cost of the jet varnish is going to be very much more. I don't know what you're using for your foil stamping, but they're all basically modified letterpress machines or platens of something. I mean, they're very mechanical. They're not the hugely sophisticated digital machines. And a lot of them are, I mean, converted letterpress machines that are 50 years old or something like that. So you've got different fixed costs and I guess different labor costs. So is that doing a lot to your estimating when you're working there?
It does. And you're absolutely correct. You know, the original capital outlay for the MGI is substantially higher than a Kluge, which we also have in play. You know, the operator hourly rate for the Kluge is a little bit cheaper, just to be quite frank with you. But the benefit, the fast make ready set, the saving on tooling definitely favors the MGI in smaller to medium sized runs. The trick is when you get into larger runs, because it is consumption driven because of the cost of the varnish material, sometimes the traditional butter press is going to win out when you get to, and I can't actually give you a fixed quantity because it varies based on consumption. Kevin understands this probably better than anybody else. It is so much in play, the amount of coverage and consumption that we're using, the varnish material, and it drives the speed of the press. Whereas a Kluge, if you're running an 8.5 by 11 letterhead, it's going to consistently run 12 to 1500 impressions an hour. With the MGI, it's going to vary depending on coverage. And then on top of that, the consumable of the varnish material.
So if you had to give like a ballpark between your break even, and I know it's variable, is it like 1,000 sheets, 5,000 sheets, 10,000 sheets?
A lot of times it's between 2,000 and 5,000 sheets. It's in that range.
That's the sweet spot.
Now, it can go a little higher depending on format, because we have the large format MGI now. So we're able to do a 29 by 41 inch sheet, where with our traditional embellishment equipment, we're able to foil stamp automated up to a 23 by 29 inch sheet. And then over 23, 29, we have to hand feed. So the MGI dominates all day long on a 2840 sheet, on a large format sheet for us. But that's not really our niche market, sure, just to be quite honest. I mean, there's companies out there with BOPS BMAs that on large packaging products, when you're dealing with tens of thousands of sheets, that just
doesn't lend to digital. Well, I think that's linked directly to the printing technology that's out there. And there's not a lot of digital presses that are printing that format yet. But once you start seeing some of those come out, maybe there might be a bigger market for short run 29 by 40 sheets. But right now that's linked to the printing technology. And that's something that we identified back when I was at MGI. Can I ask you just a crazy question?
Absolutely.
Because a lot of the people I've talked to who are doing traditional embellishments are finding an issue with the labor. A lot of the people who are running foil stamping machines are retiring or getting older, and it is very difficult to find people to run those equipments, but they're finding it much easier to find operators for digitally based equipment, especially people who are more on the creative side. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you're seeing in that space?
Yeah, you hit that on the head, Kevin. I mean, it's exactly that. We get older, more of the traditional embellishments, the foil stamping and embossing. It's actually, I joke a lot of times that it's one of the last pieces of actual craft in our trade, where people are building make readies and patching areas up. And I think that there's still a skill set to that. Whereas with the digital technology, it seems to be a lot more fluent to the young people that are coming out of college in graphic design. And, you know, they've all worked with Photoshop and InDesign, and they understand how to create a file, you know, a lot easier transition there to get somebody to be able to run that machine than trying to teach those people the mechanical setup of how to build a make ready and how to run the mechanical machine. I think that there's something to that. It really, as we get older, the traditional foil stamping and embossing is definitely getting harder to find skilled. I mean, and we're finding that everywhere. It's everything. Die cutting, it's folding, it's book binding, all those things. Again, the younger generation that's coming out of college has a lot less hands-on. I think that there's a lot fewer VOTEC programs
that are
teaching that.
You nailed it. That's it. The vocational schools aren't being pushed. There's a big shortage in the industry right now for people to run this kind of stuff. And the people who know how to run it are charging a premium because they know this. So the leverage is with them. They have a skill set that's difficult to find that they're not necessarily teaching on a regular basis. And what we're seeing is that they're kind of throwing that as a way to get paid a higher hourly wage than maybe in the past. So, yeah, I know what you're running into, man. It's not easy.
Yeah. And I'm sure everybody in the trade is going through the same challenges.
Even in the print industry, not just the trade, even your customers are running the same issue, running equipment. So it's across the board.
I do have one last relevant question about estimating, and that it's just about the consumables, because with traditional embossing, you've got no consumable at all, apart from what your printers supplied you. So your costs are purely the, you know, the machine costs and the labor. Whereas with, you know, with jet varnish or scoot, you're always paying a consumable cost on top of the foil. You know, you've got the varnish, obviously, but you know, with your Kluge, then your only consumable is only ever going to be the rolls of foil, I guess. So is that a factor at all, or does it all cancel out with the greater efficiencies of short run digital?
That's actually the largest factor, to be quite honest with you. I mean, because it dictates everything. It dictates our speed. The amount of consumable we're applying dictates our speed, and the cost of the varnish itself is relatively high. So it makes a huge impact. The foil manufacturers have seemed to come around, but when we first installed our original MGI with iFoil, colors of foil were very, very limited for digital options. Kurz and Infinity have really seemed to step up their game lately and have brought more colors and more options, which has been great. We're not as limited by that. And the cost is fairly in line for the foil. It's not substantially different for digital foil versus traditional hot foil.
I'm so sick of gold. I was so sick of gold and silver. I was like, bring out all the cool stuff, like the cracked ice and the semi-transparents and the mattes and the oil slicks and the hot pinks.
Unfortunately, we're still not quite there. I hope that they push that a little more, but it's getting better. I mean, you're getting a couple different holographic options, as well as a couple different silver options. I think you're pretty much still stuck with two gold options.
Listen, man, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed our conversation. And I just want to know, number one, would you be open to doing like a podcast with us one day to shoot the shit about the digital embellishment and stuff like that?
I would be open to that. You know, I'm a little bit of an introvert, to be quite honest with you. I'm an estimator. You know, I'm used to working behind a desk. So this has been a little bit of a reach for me, but I'm happy to do it. I hope that I've given you guys some good information and a unique insight. I think a lot of the insight you guys are going to get, because I think the majority of digital embellishment machines are inside printing companies. And I think that the people that the printers that have them installed have an advantage, because they're able to narrow down substrates. They're working with their own designers that can adjust files in-house, things like that. So they're able to train their salespeople more on how to approach the product with their with the end client, with the user, and say, this is what's going to be the best bang for your buck. Where we're trying to relay that through a third party, it's a little tougher.
You have to adapt. They don't really have to adapt. They have barriers set up. They say, this is, we're playing inside this zone. And you're just like, you have no zone. You just have to be able to make do. I understand, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely open to that. I appreciate the opportunity to do this with you gentlemen this morning. I, again, hope that I've given you something that's value.
Have a website.
Our website is www.post-press.com.
That's a good one. You must have got that one early. Right.
And you should see their shop. If anybody could survive a nuclear attack in the United States, I believe it's these guys, because you want to tell them a little bit about where you guys are located?
We're located in Independence, Missouri, which is a suburb of Kansas City. So we're pretty centrally located in the country. Our physical business is in a cave complex. So we are in an underground complex. We have about 170,000 square feet. We started out as a bindery, but we've evolved into a full service finisher. I mean, we do traditional embellishments, pocket folders. We do some converting. We do book binding. Again, multiple types of book binding, saddle stitching, perfect binding, plastic oil and wire, as well as mailing. We're doing a substantial amount of mailing. We have 7 inkjet printers. We've mailed over 30 million pieces this year already. Then we get into our packaging area. We currently have 1 57-inch die cutter, 4 40-inch die cutters. We're adding a 57-inch BOPS master cut with blanker. We have packaging gluing capability for straight line, auto bottoms, 4 corners, 6 corners. We're doing a substantial amount of packaging finishing as well. Traditional bindery. I mean, so it's been a stretch for us. We've grown into pretty large operation being in the center part of the country has been wonderful for us because we're pretty much a two-day point anywhere. We're conveniently located. When I first came to work for Post Press in 1999, we were pretty much a bindery for the Kansas City market. At this point, we do work for people all over the Midwest, and we're actually starting to get a little further outside the Midwest. Right. It's hard for us to get into the Chicago and Wisconsin markets, but we're actually starting to get into those markets as well.
Well, I think that is our time. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, Rowan?
Owen, thank you very much. I've asked my questions and got more than I was expecting. So that's been very good, Bowen. So thank you.
Excellent. I appreciate it.